Welcome to the Frisco Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and welcome to the first in a four-part series where we are letting you hear from the city council candidates that are a part of the runoff election. So in this first of those four episodes, we are going to sit down and have a conversation with Terry Green, who is running for Place 2. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having me this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come and visit with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you very much. We're glad to have you here. And for everyone's benefit, if you hear a little bit of background noise, we're recording this episode this morning at Caffeina's Marketplace Cafe. Now, I'm hesitant to tell people about it because it's kind of my favorite little best-kept secret of meeting places here in Frisco. But this is the little cafe slash coffee shop inside the Embassy Suites Hotel, and it's a great little meeting place. It's always nice and quiet and not too much traffic and a nice environment, so happy to have them hosting us this morning. Terry, we're just going to have a nice light conversation this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the elections and the race and what's coming up with the runoffs and some of the issues that are top of mind for you. So why don't you tell people a little bit first in your own voice about your background and why you want to run for city council?
Sure. I appreciate that, Scott. I'm a 26-year attorney. I've been practicing law since 1989, long period of time. I primarily handle wills, trusts, and estate planning. I was also appointed in 2013 as the associate probate judge in Collin County, where I was hearing the mental health docket. At the present time, I'm on leave, obviously, to run for Frisco City Council in order to allow me the time to go out and meet with the constituents and voters in the community to find out what are their issues. So I'm finding out their big concerns are transitioning from what we have now, City Council. We're losing two city councilmen. That is Jeff Cheney, his term limit out, as well as John Keating is running for House District 33. So we're going to have two open seats. Also, public safety is a concern. We have some issues that are coming to surface now regarding safety issues around the city, the installation of a substation on Legacy, and also reasonable and responsible growth. The density of our area is becoming a great concern to individuals regarding the multi-use facilities where people can live, work, and play.
Okay, very good. So the elections have gone to a runoff.
Yes.
And so explain to everybody how that happens. I think people have probably read our post, might know, but there are those who don't fully understand why are we going into this scenario? Why do we have to have another election?
Absolutely. And it is very confusing anyway because Frisco is divided into two counties. We have the Collin County side and the Denton County side. So when you have a race and you have more than two individuals in a race, the person who is declared the winner has to win by 50% of the vote plus one person. There actually have been elections in Frisco, and I didn't know this till Sam Roach told me, who is my treasurer, that they've actually had elections where individuals have won by one vote,
wow,
two votes, and three votes.
Really?
So it's very competitive out there, but with three individuals in my race, you have to get 50% plus one vote, and no one in my race did that. There's early voting, as you know, that took place, and that was about 8 days long. After those early voting results come in, there's a three-day waiting period so they can canvass those votes. And then we have Election Day. So you have to take the votes that occurred in early voting, add those to what's occurred on Election Day for Collin County, take the early voting in Denton County, and then what occurred on Election Day, add those two together and get your numbers. And so in this particular race, no one received 50% of the numbers.
Okay, so since nobody receives 50%, the top two vote getters, correct, go
correct
to a runoff, right? So
the top two vote getters go into a runoff. In place four, they had four individuals. So no one in that particular race received 50% of the vote. So the top two vote getters in that race will go into a runoff as well. So as far as city council and the runoff, which is June the 18th, the races are down to two individuals in place two, myself and another lady, and in place four, another gentleman and another lady.
Okay. So let's get into some of the issues Because these are the things that people most care about. And I encourage people as much as possible, especially in a local election, to get out and vote. Because these are the things that the people you vote for are the ones that are going to have the most direct impact on your life from a day-to-day basis. And the good news is we had, at least from what I saw, higher turnout than normal in the recent election. We did a very loose, and I do mean very loose, calculation. But it looked like around 10 to 11% of the voting age population came out to vote in this last election. That doesn't mean they're all registered voters, but that was just, again, sort of a rough number, where we usually see somewhere in the 2 to 3% range, maybe a little bit higher if it's a mayoral election or there's a really big hot button item on the vote. So we're happy to see that. People are coming out. But now let's talk about some of those issues that you're touching on that, as you've been talking to people, have cropped up more and more often as things that people are concerned about.
Right.
So what are you hearing?
What I'm finding out are individuals that I'm visiting with in the community, they're concerned about the transition. Right now we have our mayor and our six city councilmen, but with two open seats, they want to ensure that they have individuals who are elected to city council that can continue to follow the vision of the growth, but it has to be reasonable and responsible growth. We cannot, in my opinion, continue to grow at such a fast rate that it affects our infrastructure. Yes, if we bring in lots of businesses and lots of individuals who want to work here, we have to be able to provide ways for them to get around the city. If they all come in at one time, we're not going to be able to have enough infrastructure built to keep up with the growth of how fast individuals are moving here. And we have a lot of individuals who are moving into the Frisco area at we were going to be billed out around 380,000. Right now, 152,000. So you can imagine, if we continue to add at this fast growth, we're not going to be able to leave and travel around the city. It's already hard enough right now.
Yeah.
So I've taken some tours on various sites that individuals have invited me to come out and visit. I've traveled up and down 423, and it is hard for the individuals and Frisco Lakes to get in and out of their subdivision. If they're going to go east and west, they're working on Lebanon. If they're going to go towards 380, they're working on 423. All the apartment complexes that are going out there, it's just going to create more traffic. So my opinion is that we need to slow the growth a little bit. We need to allow, yes, businesses to come, small businesses to come. We can't have just all big businesses. Let the mom-and-pop shops continue to thrive in Frisco, but allow the streets, roads, waters, those type of issues, infrastructure, to kind of catch up with our growth. If not, I think we're going to run out of water. We only have 5 reservoirs that we are supplied with for the city of Frisco, and we're building another one, the Bois du Arc, the lower Bois du Arc, but it's not going to be online for a couple of more years. Water is going to be a big issue for us. Individuals are concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with more growth, that only exacerbates the problem as we go, right?
Absolutely. We had a good year last year as far as rainfall.
Yeah.
And way back when I was serving on the Frisco Chamber of Commerce Board, one of the issues that came up was the Lake Texoma. They had the zebra mussel infestation there. Mm-hmm. No one could use the water up there, and they finally built a pipeline that would go and feed into Lake Levan to clean all that mess up there. And it finally is online now, which has been helpful to us. But we were behind at that point in time. With a lot of the rainfall that we had last year, it is better. But we can't anticipate that we're going to have rain every year to continue to supply our water or to fill up our reservoirs. In fact, if we continue growing at this fast rate, we are going to outgrow the sources of water. We can do one of two, well, actually there's 4 things that we can do regarding our water. We can continue to conserve, which is what Frisco has been promoting, and we are definitely one of the highest areas that conserve their water regarding their surrounding cities. I have 5 different, I've been fortunate enough to have 5 mayors that are endorsing me around the Frisco area, as well as in McKinney and Allen, Prosper. Those mayors, I can reach out to them and we can discuss things such as water. And they understand the effect of it, how it's going to impact them as well. If Frisco continues to grow and grow and grow, get bigger and bigger and bigger and use up all the water sources, and we're not going to have any happy neighbors, yeah. That's for sure. So we can continue to conserve. We have WaterWise was instituted here in the Frisco area, which is great because you can get online. And I didn't even know this. You could get online and it can tell you, you know, exactly how the water is going to affect you, how much water you should use, what the rainfall is going to be. And that was a project, I think, one of the leadership Frisco classes implemented.
Very good.
We can also connect to new sources if we need to, or we can create new sources. That's what we're trying to do with the lower board yard. Or we can continue at the rate that we're going. But at some point in time, we will run out of water.
Yeah, we have to address this now and not wait too far down the road.
That's exactly why you need city councilmen who are taking an active stance and an active view of what it's going to look like in the future, as opposed to being reactive when something does happen. You know, you want to be able to act and get all your information up front so you can make an informed decision when it's time to do so.
So that actually brings two things up that I have thought about in the past. One is just a simple shout out. There is a Frisco startup called Sprinkle. They are making a technology for sprinkler systems that will tap into the rules and the regulations for watering in your area. It'll pull that information offline. It will automatically water your lawn to the appropriate amount. But they have ways of also measuring saturation and all this other crazy stuff. So that, I mean, one of the problems we have is that even if we're watering at the right time and on the right days, a lot of times people are still using more water than they need to.
Right.
This will automatically measure and adjust that, so it'll cycle through it so that the water has time to soak in, and it's just an interesting thing, and they are based in Frisco. So it's cool to see a startup like that. We'll definitely put a link to them in the show notes. Okay, so that's water. Anything else tax-related going on right now that we should be...
I would like the citizens to know that for the city of Frisco, we are at 46 cents per 100. And that means that out of the 46 cents per 100, 30 cents of it goes for the general fund and 16 cents goes to pay down our bond debt. We are one of the lowest in the areas. And again, I've reached out to other mayors to see what their tax base is for their cities. We are actually the lowest. We are one of the leanest by operations, using those funds for operations. We are one of the leanest ones in the area. We have low maintenance and operation expense. George Purefoy has done an outstanding job to make sure that our city continues to operate, but we have the highest level infrastructure bonds, the highest level of infrastructure, the roads, the fire department, the police department, the senior citizen center, the library, anything that we need. The city has made sure that we have the state of the art, and our taxes are at 46 cents. The most common question that I get is, will I be able to lower our property taxes? And I need to let the voters know and the citizens know that there are four entities that tax us. The city, that's 46 cents. The county, which is the county commissioners, they're the ones of the taxing authority who set those taxes. Collin College, they have their own taxing authority, and Frisco Independent School District. So recently, there's been some issues about whether or not they're going to raise the taxes for 13 cents.
But you're talking about Frisco ISD.
We're talking about Frisco ISD. So that is nothing. That issue has to be addressed with Frisco Independent School District and their trustees. That's not something that a city councilman can change. We can only change the 46 cents if, in fact, we decide to raise the taxes, which I don't anticipate we're going to be doing for a long period of time, or at least just looking at it. I'm not saying we cannot ever raise the tax basis from 46 cents up, but it's been pretty level for several years because of the fact we've been able to use those funds in a reasonable manner, being fiscally responsible with those funds, with the taxpayer funds to ensure we continue with our quality of life and our great services that Frisco's had to offer.
Okay. So everybody, I want to make sure that you heard that. You know that Frisco ISD is considering raising taxes, and they're having some hearings on that. But don't call Terry. She doesn't get to decide that for you. Sorry.
I will be a voter just like anyone else if it goes to vote.
There you go. Okay, well, while we have you here, are there any other particular items or issues you'd like to cover so that people have an idea of what you're thinking about heading into the runoff election?
Well, I do want the citizens to know that I am for the performing arts. I was fortunate enough to receive the Frisco Performing Arts Coalition's endorsement And the voters have spoken that they would like to have a performing arts facility here where we can bring in the visual arts and have a larger opportunity for the students, because we do have so many students, 53,000 students out of 152,000 citizens. We have most of those are out of 152,000 citizens here, 53,000 of those are children. And not everybody wants to play sports. We have great sports venues here, from FC Dallas to Dr. Pepper to the ballpark to the now the football stadium. But we need to expand our culture here, and we need to expand our diversity here by adding a performing arts facility for students who want to play the piano or play play the piano or perform in dance recitals, or if you want to have a art gallery that will bring other visitors to Frisco for a reason other than sports.
All for that. I think it is something that we are sorely lacking.
I do want to say one other
thing
about the arts. It has been approved by the voters. There was a $10 million bond that was approved last year in 2015. There was an additional $4 million bond that was set aside several years ago. So we have $14 million to move forward with the bonds. We have someone who may want to donate land, to my understanding. And as you said, there are large corporations who come here and they want to move to our area, but they want something that they brings other diversity and culture to, as opposed to sports.
All right, you've got the stage. Is there anything else that you'd like us to know?
Well, as you know, we recently all received our appraisals, and I was quite surprised to see how much my property had escalated in value, which was great, but I was also quite shocked to see how much my taxes had escalated as well. So I just recently returned from the state convention in Dallas, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was there, and he pretty much told the audience that there was going to be some extensive tax relief is going to be looked at in the next legislative session. He stated that right now, you know, raising the homestead exemption from $15,000 to $25,000 was just a start, but that we cannot continue to have taxes where individuals can't afford to live, specifically in Frisco or any other area in Texas, because they've lost their jobs, or they're trying to afford college, or they have a member of in hospice, specifically elderly people who are on fixed incomes, and after paying off their house, they should not have to rent it back to the government. So we're trying to look at suggestions, and he wants to work with the city governments as well as the counties. He wants to work with the city governments, the counties, and all the school districts. And he really didn't issue an ultimatum, but he issued a strong suggestion that we all need to sit down and work together to figure out what we can do. He thinks that maybe rolling back the tax rate from 8% to 5% without a petition, and anything above that, let the citizens vote. Now, the cons on that are that it takes a long time to get something on a ballot, and it may handicap the citizens in the cities a little bit from going forward with anything that they need for infrastructure or police or fire or whatnot. But on the other hand, I think you have to have citizen input. And he said anything above 5%, then let the citizens vote on it. And he basically stated that you have to trust the citizens to vote when they need more police or fire infrastructure, and if they vote not to raise the taxes, then you've done your job as an elected official, and then your next alternative is to cut services on there. He wants to reach out to the cities and invited the city, he invited the city to come out and send representatives either to the Capitol or he will come up here. I know there's a committee that's been started. I think Senator Van Taylor is on that committee. I think Judge John Payton is putting together a segment with former GOP party chair Kathy Ward. They're going to be talking about property relief. So it's definitely going to be on the 2017 legislative agenda. And the reason I'm bringing it up to our citizens of Frisco is that we need to elect individuals who are on the forefront of this issue and not wait till it gets to the legislative session, but to urge, and if I'm elected city councilman, I want to go ahead and sit down, go to the Capitol, that the lieutenant governor extended an offer to come down and see if we can work up a resolution, because he basically said, if we pass some legislation in the 2017 session and you have not sat down with us to make a decision or to help us help you run your cities, because we all have the same problems as a state. We all have to deal with public safety, health care, growing population. Then you're going to basically have missed the train.
Okay. Well, I think we're all in favor of hearing that the property taxes might come down, or at least be managed a little bit more carefully. So that's good to know, and I'm glad that you're working with, that the state is working with the cities on helping to make that happen. It's definitely a local issue.
Right, and I've already reached out. I'm endorsed by State Representative Jody Lobenberg and Jeff Leach. And those individuals, of course, our legislators, they're going to be working on that. And I think that gives me a unique perspective to be able to get in there immediately and start working with them and Senator Taylor to find out what it is we can do, what other suggestions can we come up with as a city councilman to help ourselves, and then have something to present to the lieutenant governor if we do go to the Capitol, or if he comes here, to have some kind of a resolution as to how we can help our citizens make sure that the taxpayers are taken care of in our community.
Okay, very good. Let's move on and talk about Encore. This is an issue that's popped up a little bit more recently, and it's a couple weeks before people are going to hear this, so I don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but talk a little bit about what the issue is and then where you're standing on it.
Absolutely. Well, the Planning and Zoning Commission had a meeting recently, and they had over 200 concerned citizens discussing Encore is wants to put in and requesting a special use permit to construct a substation for transmission line on Legacy. Now, the individuals came in and gave testimony before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I must say they did not have the application, and at some point they indicated that this was placed prematurely on the agenda, so they went ahead and took citizens' input. Jamie Height is a grassroots organizer, and she had started an online petition because she lives really close adjacent to where this substation is going to be placed. She was concerned about the health and the safety and the property values and the decline that was going to be in that particular area. Another gentleman who came up and gave some testimony was someone who had oversees General Electric substations throughout the world. So his concern was, if there was an emergency, how would they get those children out, which backs right up, or right across the street actually, from Legacy Christian Academy, mm-hmm. right down the street from Allen Elementary. There are two subdivisions there and also a park. Other reasons cited that they should not build it there was the loss of teachers, because the teachers that are in those schools can decide where they want to teach, and they may not want to teach there if they feel like as though there's some kind of a danger there. And there's no actual benefit to those particular residents. Apparently that this substation is going to be installed for the $5 billion to help with the electricity and the transmission, to help with the electricity and ongoing building of what's going on down in a $5 billion mile. I listened to all these concerns, but what I didn't hear was what the long-term effect was. And as a 26-year attorney, I came to the conclusion that we need to find out what is the long-term effect to our residents. I know that there are other substations here in Frisco, but these homes and these schools were built around these substations. And in this particular situation, these homes and individuals moved to these homes. These schools were erected and built here in the area, but this substation is coming to them.
Yeah.
So they.
Yeah, it's a different issue, right?
It is a totally different issue than you making the choice to move next to a substation and subjecting yourself if there's something that happens down the road. But you made an informed choice to move into that subdivision, whereas this is a little bit different. So I started looking at it now. Obviously, under the law, Encore has a duty to make sure that they're not negligent when they install that substation, and if they were to breach that duty and cause any damages to individuals, whether it be personal injury damages or wrongful death damages, and they would be responsible. But my question is also, would the taxpayers be responsible too for granting this special use permit? So that kind of jarred me when I was sitting there listening to that. So I wanted to go back and do a little bit of research. And I am concerned about the emission line and transmission and possible contamination it could cause, because we've already had such a situation in Frisco, and that is with Exide. Mm-hmm. And it took years and years. And being an attorney, again, working on cases, sometimes it takes decades. I mean, if you are exposed to asbestos, or working in coal mines, or working in the glass factories, and all of these take a long time for those injuries to manifest themselves in the human body. They don't just occur overnight. So I guess the question would be, and my suggestion to planning and zoning and to the city leaders and me if I am elected, is for, to look at the long-term effects, see what has actually happened with the other substations that are already here in Frisco. Has any one particular area exhibited some type of unusual personal injuries or unusual illnesses or leukemia or any type of cancer in youth or even the older people? Let's just sit back and take a look at these long-term effects, because now we are starting to grow out so fast, 150,000 people, and now we have at least a little bit of a timeline of some of those substations have already been here as to what would be the long-term effect. I mean, I'm opposed to it being put in over there, installed in that particular area. I've actually been out to the site. It is very close to all of those areas, and I think that those citizens there made a choice to move there, to buy their home there, to go to school there, because it was not in that location. If they wanted to be close to a substation, they could have moved anywhere else in Frisco. So I think that we just make sure that we have elect a city councilman with knowledge and the relevant experience who can quickly distinguish a minor issue versus a serious threat that affects the health and the safety and well-being of the citizens.
It definitely sounds like something we need to be paying attention to. What are the timelines for something being determined or decided? What is the next step?
My understanding that there are two more planning and zoning meetings coming up June the 14th, but I don't think it's going to be put on the agenda before the election on June the 18th.
Yep.
And the next one would be at the end of the month. I think it's June the 28th.
Okay.
So the application will be filed, and it has never been filed yet, but it's in the process of being filed. And once it's filed, then it'll go back to planning and zoning. They'll have additional citizen input, and then based on what their recommendation is, it will then go to city council.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep our eyes on this and try to bring more information to everybody as we get more information. So last but not least, I think we're going to talk a little bit about bathrooms. Now, this has been a hot topic nationally lately, particularly interesting here in Frisco, I guess, though, to those of us that live here. So what are you seeing and what are you thinking about?
Well, at the state convention, you always anticipate it's going to be pretty rowdy and rambunctious there. But when they made the announcement that Obama had issued a directive stating that students must be free from discrimination and ignoring their right to choose a bathroom would be a violation of the Title IX, which bans discrimination in education based on one's sex. And we're like, what? What does that actually mean? And it means if public schools and colleges decide to ignore the directive, then they face the threat of losing federal dollars.
So basically, if I understood, and I heard this, but I just want to make sure I understand this correctly, and you're an attorney, so help me get this right. Obama issued a directive that basically said, you have to let students use whatever bathroom they want to. If you don't do that, we're pulling your federal funding.
That's exactly right. And so Lieutenant Governor again was there, as well as Attorney General Ken Paxton. They all commented on it during our sessions. And Texas would stand to lose about $5 billion, but most of those $5 billion actually. And those funds are normally what's used for the low-income breakfasts and lunches for the children. So they're taking our taxpayer dollars that we send up to Washington to take care of these low-income children, and that's the money that they're going to take away from the low-income children. So Lieutenant Patrick said, we are going to find a way to recover those funds. We are not going to be selling our children for some money and allowing individuals to go into the bathroom. But the question became to me was, what is all of this about? What is gender identity, you know, versus the gender on the birth certificate? But gender identity is when a person's perception of having a particular gender, whether that's male or female, which may or may not correspond to the gender that they were assigned with at birth. But gender on a birth certificate is what is actually on your birth certificate, the day, time, and place you were born. And then transgender are those who identify with a gender that does not correspond with their sex at birth. So you can see there's all kinds of questions about gender identity, gender on birth certificates, transgender. But basically, it's all around us, and it is coming to Frisco. I mean, as you know, North Carolina signed an order, basically said into law that it was a crime for anyone to enter the bathroom of an opposite sex, and now they're facing a federal lawsuit. And in addition, Even Obamacare has addressed it because it says that Obamacare requires the health carriers to provide health insurance to patients regardless of their gender identity. Target, as you know, has been embroiled because they're allowing individuals, shoppers, to use whichever bathroom that corresponds to their gender identity. Rockwall is even closer to home here, where the city council there, the mayor, tried to pass a proposal to regulate bathroom usage by a birth gender, but it failed. He didn't get the second vote on there. Now, Plano, a couple of years ago, did pass the Equal Rights Ordinance, and I was looking through that ordinance to find out what the issues were regarding the bathroom, but it did provide and prohibits discrimination in places of public accommodations like employment or housing practices and city contracts, but there's a section in there that specifically excludes bathrooms, and it stated that it shall not be unlawful to deny the opposite sex access to facilities inside a public accommodation based on their sex. So at least they excluded that part of it out of the Plano Equal Rights Ordinance. But again, the 2017 legislative session is coming up, and Matt Shaheen has issued sent out yesterday an email basically stating that he was opposed to any ordinance that's going to allow males into female bathrooms. And you have to look at what went on down in Houston if you let it go to the voters. And my position is I'm absolutely against males being in a female bathroom, because as a mom and a grandmother and a female, when I go, I have a right of privacy to go into the restroom. Mm-hmm. And I want to know who's in the stall next to me. And I think that State Representative Matt Shaheen is directly on point when he says, I'm going to fight this, and I will fight it with him to protect my wife and my daughters when they go into a bathroom.
So what happened in Houston?
There are 70% of Houston are Democrats, but when they allowed it to go to a vote about this ordinance about the men going into the women's bathroom, it failed by 65%. All the voters that voted, Republican, Democrat, said, we do not want men in women's bathroom. So they were allowed to voice their opinion on that issue. And that would be my position, is that we let the voters vote on that particular issue.
It doesn't feel like a particularly partisan type of issue to me, that most people are not necessarily, they don't want to be discriminatory, but this, I guess when I think about this particular issue, and this is probably going down a tangent for a whole other podcast, but this feels like the law of unintended consequences just waiting to catch up with us. Because once you open it up to bathrooms, does that mean you have to open up locker rooms and any other scenario where men and women are typically separated? And I personally think usually for good reason. So it'd be interesting to see how this all falls out.
And I think you're exactly right. It's not along partisan lines. Democrats, Republicans, males, females, Hispanics, blacks, Asians, African-Americans, Americans, white people, we all think the same. No one wants a man to be in a female bathroom. And granted, there's a fear factor of the transgender person who's going through the transition to go into a male's bathroom. But to me, either get a separate bathroom, but I've talked to individuals in the GALA, Gay and Lesbian Alliance, to find out their position on this. And they do not want a third bathroom because it sets them apart as being different, and they want to be the same. Well, we already have family bathrooms, mm-hmm. So just change the name if we have to do something along those lines. But just to keep them inclusive, if we're trying to include them. But again, it's all about a right to privacy with me and the safety of our citizens. If there is such an issue, and we find that there's such an issue with problems with the transgender being in the female bathrooms. But it really is, to me, a right of privacy.
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on this issue as well and see how it comes down, not only nationally, but right here in Frisco. All right, Terry, thank you again for running, for everything you do for the community, and look forward to seeing how things fall out on June 18th.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate you having me today.